With Cap Radio Special Coverage, I'm Randall White. The topic of conversation for this half hour is anxiety in the age of pandemic. And we want to keep in mind your mental health. So later we will include some tips for de-stressing. So stick around for that. But first up, what exactly is bothering you right now? Well, we're reaching out to Cap Radio listeners to get a sense of your top concerns. Some have expressed dismay over people not wearing masks. Others worry the job market will be in shambles for the foreseeable future. But reopening the economy holds the top spot for those who reached out to us. Here are a couple
of Cap Radio listeners
who actually
voiced their concerns. I'm Rachel Forbes from Sacramento. I'm not excited about the reopening. I feel like the government is allowing things to open that have the potential to make money, not the things that really matter to people's lives.
This is Joe in Davis. I'm not optimistic about the reopening process. To reopen, I think we need to get the number of new cases per day in California down well below 100 or have an army of testers and contact tracers.
And then there's this message we got from Kathy in Rockland. My friend is in assisted living with COPD and Alzheimer's. The facility is having all residents remain in their rooms. And then Kathy explains there's cabin fever and complications with understanding what's going on. Cap Radio's healthcare reporter Sammy Cayola saw that message and reached out, which led to an in-depth piece about anxiety of living in assisted care during the pandemic. And that's anxiety for both the patients and those who love them. And Sammy joins us now. Sammy, what did you learn about these challenges like those Kathy is experiencing?
These are universal issues. There are so many loved ones across California who can't see their family members because visiting hours have been pretty much stopped. And it's a tough place to be in because you want to protect these seniors. They are vulnerable to this disease. They are at higher risk of dying. But it's not just a physical threat we have to worry about. When you've got older people that may already be experiencing some depression or may not feel that there's a lot of meaning in their life, when you put them alone in a room all day, it can be a pretty dangerous situation mentally. They could become really anxious. In Kathy's case, she and Marsha used to see each other every week. Kathy would go and take Marsha to lunch. And Marsha, who's the one who's in the care home, she really had a ton of friends. She did bingo. She did all the activities and was really happy. But ever since the lockdown started, not so much.
Because of her Alzheimer's, she's really having trouble understanding why she has to be separated out and confined to her room. And she has to keep being reminded, you know, this isn't going to last, but this is the way it has to be for now.
Something I learned that I thought was interesting was that isolation and loneliness are actually very different concepts. Someone can be isolated and actually be okay, you know, just able to occupy themselves, and they may not feel lonely. But it's that feeling of loneliness, of feeling that you don't have any connections, you don't have any purpose, that can be a real health issue.
Sammy, you spent a lot of time reporting this, and I'm wondering what kind of response you've gotten to the story so far.
This is definitely resonating with people. I got an email from a listener this morning whose mother is in an independent living community, and she's having very similar concerns about her mother's memory is fading. And I talked to another listener who she actually had to pull her parents out of their nursing home because they were having such a hard time.
So, Sammy, what can someone do if they're feeling anxious about their loved one in a facility and they, you know, they're not sure that they should be there?
Visiting is usually not an option unless someone is really at the end of life. Then there are some exceptions. What you can do is try to connect to them virtually. This has been a challenge in some senior homes because they don't always have iPads or iPhones available. But if you can get one to them, if you can send them a care package and then sort of teach them how to use a phone, then you should really, really try to FaceTime with them. You know, you can do a regular phone call too, but the experts I talked to said really seeing someone's face is the best way to keep in touch. And there's really a difference too in the kinds of activities that you might encourage your loved one to do. I talked to Donna Jensen. She's a gerontologist at Sacramento State.
What we've seen, though, is really needing older adults to get involved in productive activities, engaging in crafts or engaging in hobbies. versus maybe the more passive activities, watching TV, sitting down. So I think as we are trying to help our friends, our loved ones, our community members, being able to be creative in how we help engage others and help them find kind of meaning and purpose in their lives is really important.
I have seen some good resources for seniors who have access to the internet. There are some virtual museum tours. There are classes. Alzheimer's Foundation is offering a lot. So if you look around, you can try to find good educational activities to try to, you know, keep your loved one, keep their spirits up and get their cognitive function in a good place.
Oh, Sammy, thank you for getting that information out there. There's a lot of people that really need it during this time.
Yeah, and you can find other resources along with the story. It's at capradio.org.
Cap Radio's Sammy Caola. Another source of stress that we're hearing from you right now is over unemployment, with some saying that they still haven't been able to secure their benefits this far into the pandemic. Erica Chan is a filmmaker based in Los Angeles and knows all too well how complicated the process for collecting unemployment benefits can be. So she and some friends put together a Facebook group to share some tips for those who can't get through to the state even after hours of waiting on hold. Erica joins us now from her home in Glendale. And I want to start, Erica, by talking about the response you got to this group. Did you expect it to be so popular?
No, not at all. I didn't. When I made it, I just wanted to help people. I didn't think about how much people needed that help.
So what are the sorts of tips that you're giving people? What's the main, the number one thing people are asking you for that you're able to deliver on?
The number one thing is how to contact somebody at EDD. And now and again, I would put out a few different polls on tips, and all the members would comment on what would be the best way to contact. So it's a collective way of getting information.
What are some other concerns that people have that you're able to help with?
A lot of the questions is just understanding the process. If you go on the EDD website, a lot of it is confusing. It's very governmental, the way they have to word things, and it's not user-friendly at all. Sometimes even the questions and the applications are really confusing, and there's no clarification on what it really means. And so through talking to each other, we can find out what the correct answer should be that applies to me.
Yeah. So basically you take all this government speak and put it through the people translator and it comes out the other end with things we all can understand.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you feel like you might have a different career path on the other end of this?
I don't know. I guess I'm just going to go where the path takes me, but I don't know. I absolutely love filmmaking, so we'll see.
I imagine that you've had anxiety because you've been out of work. Does being able to help this many people relieve your own anxiety?
That's a hard question to answer, only because I do feel really great when I can help others out. But at the same time, this morning, I woke up to maybe 40 or 50 private messages, and that's gets my anxiety back up. So it's a little bit both, you know what I mean? It's rewarding some days, and some days are harder.
And Erica, I understand that the next step for you is to move this off of Facebook onto a website where it might have more of the tools needed to respond to those asking questions.
We're developing something right now. It hasn't launched. We're just trying to make sure that it has good information, basically translating what the EDD website has, but we are definitely linking everything to it. So it's just so people can have a better understanding of what the process is, without having to sift through all the comments in our photo threads and without having to wait for an answer from any of us.
Well, Google Translate doesn't yet have a government to everyday speak translation option. So keep up doing what you're doing because it's a valuable skill.
Thank you so much.
Filmmaker Erica Chan's Facebook page is Unofficial California Unemployment Help. And at last check, it had nearly 34,000 members. The coronavirus pandemic is raising anxiety levels for several reasons. And Humboldt State professor Sarah Ray says there are simple steps you can take to help reduce some of that daily stress. I spoke with her this week about her list of grounding questions and asked her to explain how they help people get in control of their emotions.
Yeah. So one of the things that I have found works with my students who have been dealing with and grappling with climate anxiety over the last few years, and then also with my own anxiety about that stuff, I've really been having to put these things into practice in a much more immediate daily way in my own life right now. And I'm trying to help my students also do that. And so perhaps that could be helpful for some of the listeners here. So the first question is, what are my touchstones in this time? And they wrote down things like music and connection with family or a particular place or a particular object in their life. And I think that those sometimes seem like frivolous pleasures or something that get cut when we're under stress. And my point of raising that question is to remind ourselves how important those precious, cherished things are in our lives and how much grounding and pleasure they can give us in a particular urgent moment.
So the pandemic situation, specifically the stay-at-home orders, might alter this next one, but maybe you can help us understand maybe which ones we can and cannot do. But your question is, what old habits or routines can I do with more intention, presence, and pleasure?
Yeah. So, you know, normally in my normal life, when the pandemic wasn't around, I would find things like helping my kids brush their teeth or, you know, doing the laundry or all of the kind of mundane aspects of my life that seem to get in the way of me getting real work done. Those things now are taking up a lot more space in my attention span, and I find them weirdly comforting and almost sort of sacred. And I feel grateful that I get to do that instead of, you know, thinking about someone in the hospital or thinking about the leadership in the country that's, you know, feels to be failing and all of the things that are really out of my control. The focus in on the thing that is in my control that I am so grateful that I can still do is a way of adding positivity into my day.
Sarah, you say, what practice can I do today that will resource me? What does that mean?
What I'm thinking about is there something that can give me energy, give me a sense of wholeness, give me a sense of pleasure in my life? The real test of resilience for us is if we can find some way to have some distance from what we're experiencing to make some meaning out of it. And that's what's hard about it. Daisy, I need you to stop. I really need you. You'll take the different one. Do you remember how earlier we were getting the dogs ready to walk, but then we changed our plans? And you remember how you were playing with that black leash right then?
Sarah, I think a lot of people could relate to you right now who are working from home and are having these moments. But
it's
is
classic.
That a moment that you also cherish? You know that it's one of these things you're talking about?
This particular one, no. But I have gotten a lot more patient with it because I know, you know, and I normally would feel really upset because I'd be worried about you in this situation. But there's no pretending that we can make these divisions anymore. And I've got my husband on his speakerphone going in the background. It's really loud. He's talking really loudly. So I'm like, get off, shut up. So yeah, it's there she goes. She found the leash. Okay.
Humboldt State Professor Sarah Ray demonstrating the challenges we're all facing by working at home, along with some tips for reducing anxieties. She had the kid, the dog, and the husband, all part of the mix. She's also the author of a new book, A Field Guide to She's also the author of a new book, A Field Guide to Climate Anxiety. More information at capradio.org. I'm Randall White.